Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
It's a blessing to be here this morning. And I wanted to just share with you that oftentimes for me, the Holy Spirit kind of leads me into different subjects over time. In the way I read Scripture as part of my devotional. But lately, I've been gravitating towards worship and what it truly means. And I thought I would share some of the things that I have discovered as I read Scripture in the context of worship. Let's pray together before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful this morning for bringing us here together. It's never about us, but it's because of thy goodness and thy mercy. We ask, Father, that you may forgive us our sins, and we just invite you in the presence of the Holy Spirit that it will not be about us, but it should be about you as we worship you this morning. We ask for a special blessing, O God, that you may help us open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your will as part of our worship service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you notice in the title of our message this morning, worship and how to make it a way of life. Worship and how to make it a way of life. And as I said, I wanted to share what I discovered, some of the gems that I discovered in Scripture. I'll start with a story that's told by a retired minister of a little boy who lived out in the country. This was many years ago, and this young man had never seen a traveling circus. And one circus was coming to town. So the boy asked his father for permission to go and see the circus. And his dad said he could, as long as his chores were done early. That morning came, his chores were finished, and the little boy asked his father for some money so he could go. His father reached down in his overalls and pulled out a dollar bill, the most money this young man had ever seen at any one given time. And off he went. And as he approached the town, he saw people lining the streets. Peering through the line at one point, he got his first glimpse of the parade. There were animals and cages and a marching band. Finally, a clown was seen at the rear of the parade. The little boy was so excited, so thrilled, that when the clown was passing by, he reached down in his pocket and pulled out that $1 bill and handed it to the clown. Thinking he had seen the circus, when in fact he had only seen the parade, the little boy turned around and went home. I share this story to illustrate that some of us come to church just like this little boy. Nothing wrong with this, but we may come with the intent to worship God for a few hours, from 9 o'clock or 9:30 to noon. A few hours, the parade of hymn singing, the parade of prayer, the parade of communion and preaching. We may even take a nap during worship. We come to church to worship as a ritual, to watch the parade by peering through the pews at all the activities during church worship. And then we turn around and go home at noon, thinking we've had our part in worship by being in God's house. But yet, we missed the main event, the daily encounter with Jesus Christ, which should be our worship. Or we may even have a different view. Similar to the Brazilian Indian man that Robert Kennedy met while he was visiting the Amazon. They talked through a translator. "What do you most like to do?" Kennedy asked, expecting an answer, something like, "I like hunting with bow and arrow," or even canoeing. The Indian, however, answered and said, "I like being occupied with God." Kennedy said to the translator, "Ask him again. Something must be lost in the translation." But the Indian gave the same answer, "I like being occupied with God." Some among us, brothers and sisters, might view worship like this Brazilian Indian, a true worship experience as being occupied with God. For some people, worship or being occupied with God is singing, shouting, raising of hands, prayer, or other forms of demonstrative praise, which, you know, as you know, the dictionary defines as the expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. Let's go back to scripture. In John chapter 4, Jesus is having this conversation with this Samaritan woman, which we all know about. So he's having this conversation with this Samaritan woman at the well. The woman had been married how many times? 5 times. And is now living with this gentleman who is not her husband. So in John chapter 4 and verse 19, the subject sort of takes a different turn. "Sir," the woman says, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied in verse 21 there, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. And listen to this. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Jesus says here in John chapter 4, that true worship should have nothing to do with the place, or even a church, or even a season such as Christmas, or Thanksgiving, or, as a matter of fact, Good Friday. But rather, we should worship God. Listen to this. We should worship God in the way we think, in the way we talk, and really, how we live our lives daily. That is worship. Whatever we do, whether we eat or whether we drink, we are meant to do it all to the glory of God. That is worship. Christian music artist, his name is Chris Tomlin, put it this way: worship is where God isn't moved by the quality of our voice, but by the condition of our heart. So as I said, I've been thinking about worship and what Scripture says about it in the context of how I should live my life. I've been thinking about it in the context of Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. In the context of how we should worship God in the way we think, the way we talk, and the way we live our lives daily. Particularly verse 31, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then verse 31, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? I've been thinking about some practical things we can do to enhance our worship experience according to verse 31. I came up with four, all right? There could be more, but I came up with four that I wanted to share with you. Number one, take the time to greet one another as part of our worship experience. Here's what Scripture says to encourage us to greet one another. In Romans chapter 16, verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20, all the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 12, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5, 26, give each other a kiss. Give each other a kiss when you meet. 1 Peter 5, 14, greet one another with a kiss. So I found five verses that encourage us to greet one another. Every tradition, every race, every nation, every tribe or people has a way of greeting. In the U.S., most of us shake hands. We are even taught how to hold the hand that you're greeting. We exchange kisses, we hug, or we cuddle. As simple and routine as it appears, greeting is a way of showing care to everyone to whom it's expressed. When you greet or receive a greeting, there's a warm feeling you experience within. But if those you expect to greet you do not do so, you feel bad. We all know it, and research shows that there are benefits derived from greeting. That's why God encourages us to greet one another. Greeting shows that you are in good terms with the person who's greeting you. Greeting sets the tone for a conversation. Greeting is an expression of care, an expression of warmth, of friendliness. Greeting could also ease tension. In some cultures, failure to offer a greeting is an insult. A show of pride or any other negative behavior. By the way, one research also shows that greeting, more so hugging, enhances one's well-being, one's health, or even one's productivity. We may not necessarily have to give each other a kiss, as was the culture in Paul's time, but a handshake and a greeting does everyone good. Did you know that there are some people who actually attend church here with us and never get to greet anybody except the person at the door who's greeting them? May I encourage you to take the time each and every day to greet those we know as well as those that we do not know as part of our worship experience. It may be the single parent at work, the elderly woman in the grocery store, or the young man at the doctor's office. The second thing I discovered on how to make worship a way of life was to take the time to encourage one another. Take the time to encourage one another. Here's what Scripture says. Three simple verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Romans 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I'm sure all of us could use some encouragement once in a while. Be that person who gives encouragement to others. We all need some encouragement. Research shows that One Marriage has identified an interesting characteristic of happy couples, that healthy homes enjoy a positive to negative ratio of 5-1. In other words, for every negative comment or criticism, there are 5 acts of encouragement. 5 acts of encouragement for one negative. Long-lasting friendships are made up of individuals who encourage each other. I encourage you to do this for someone. Ask them to tell you their story. Resist the urge to interrupt or correct. Turn off the television. Log off the internet. Put away your phone. And give your full attention to encourage them as part of your worship experience. And make worship a way of life. The third gem I discovered on how to make worship a way of life was to take the time to regard one another as more important than you. Here's what Scripture says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. And then Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Our generation's fascination with social media has sort of taken addiction to adulation to a whole new level. We compare each other and measure our success by how many likes, how many tweets or retweets or thumbs up or friends we have on social media, essentially betting our joy on the unpredictable reaction and views of people we may not even know. We are obsessed with self-promotion, which, as you know, is about self. Here's what I think. Blessed is the Christian who focuses on others. Blessed is the Christian who focuses on others. Miserable is the Christian whose focus is on self. Our obsession with self-promotion is making us miserable. Our obsession with self-promotion is making us miserable. If your desire to be noticed is making you miserable, I'm sure others around you are miserable too, as a result of your desire to be noticed. I encourage you to regard others instead as more important than you as part of your worship experience. The fourth and final discovery I made on how to make worship a way of life was to take the time to forgive one another. Here's what Scripture says about forgiveness. In Ephesians 4:32, Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Colossians 3, verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. After a long shift at the fire department, Matt Swazel fell asleep while driving and crashed into another vehicle, taking the life of a pregnant mother, June Fitzgerald, and injuring her 19-year-old daughter. According to a news report, Fitzgerald's husband, a full-time minister, asked for the man's reduced sentence and began meeting with the person who killed his wife and the unborn baby for coffee and conversations. Many years later, the two remain close friends. You forgive as you've been forgiven, Fitzgerald told the reporter. How many times do we go on without asking God to help us forgive those who have hurt us? Many of us continue to carry with us the anger and the hurt against those who hurt us many years ago. God has forgiven us, and that in return, we forgive others and extend grace as we have been shown grace. It can be one of the hardest things we face in life. The pain and hurt others cause us is real, and it's great. But the pain of living with bitterness and unforgiveness can poison your soul and destroy you. As part of worshiping God, when we forgive others, we are not saying that what they did was okay, but we are releasing them to God and letting go of its hold on us. As we close, I invite you to take stock of your life. In as far as worship is concerned, we all can do better in the way we worship our Heavenly Father, in the way we think, the way we talk, and the way we live our daily lives. Worship is a daily experience and does not just happen when we worship God in church. It is being occupied with God daily. May God richly bless us as we continue to worship Him and Him alone. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.